top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue, the big station.
This is the Midday News for Wednesday, December 16. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, an act carving the way for a new National Health Commission is set to go before Parliament in 2021. But member Elude Williams says a CEO will be installed at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital in January. Prime Minister Gaston Browne made stark remarks in Parliament on Tuesday, scolding the Antigua and Barbuda Workers' Union for encouraging port workers to take industrial action over unpaid bonuses. And Americans start to get vaccinated against COVID-19 as deaths cross 300,000. And Dr. David Agus joins CBS This Morning to explain the process and how long it will take Americans to receive COVID-19 vaccines. The news is brought to you, compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Christmas is almost here, and it's time to deck the house with great furniture and appliance deals from Courts. Make every moment matter this Christmas with a new living room or dining room set and get up to 30% off. Appliances, cell phones, and electronics are also up to 50% off. Tired of that old bedroom? Trade it in for a new one and save 30%. No cash? No problem. Buy on credit and pay nothing until March 2021. Shop with Courts this Christmas and make every moment matter. Courts, bringing value home.
National Health Commission member Elude Williams says a chief executive officer will soon be installed for the Dominica China Friendship Hospital. He further stated that a Hospital Authority Act will see changes to the way in which the hospital is managed. Williams says the cabinet has approved the recommendation for the hospital CEO, with the appointments to take place sometime in January next year.
We are waiting on a formal response from him, so I would not give any more details on this. But what I can say is we expect in January there will certainly be a chief executive officer. The legislation for the Hospital Authority Act, which of course took considerable time, there was a certain amount of public discussion, and I wouldn't say controversy, but there were certain concerns as we expressed, and we had to deal with this. We have in fact taken account of the many observations that were made by the stakeholders and have made recommendations for improvements, for changes in the draft legislation. We expect that it will be ready very shortly and to be presented to cabinet, who would then consider what is a revised draft with a view to go into Parliament. Our expectation from the Commission is that early in 2021, the Hospitals Authority Act will be enacted and that the board can be appointed, so that in very short order, in early 2021, the Hospital Authorities Board will be in place and that the actual new arrangements, which we have spoken so much about, meaning the new organizational structure for the new National Dominica China Friendship Hospital, should be in place.
National Health Commission member Elude Williams. DCP Successes Limited says it is seeking to extend its operations to manufacturing liquids and cooking oil. Executive Director of DCP Successes Limited, Ivor Nassif, says when DCP was acquired, a bar soap making factory is what it got, with all the other equipment for liquid and toothpaste having been scrapped and shipped out. He said the first objective was to get the bar soap operation viable and profitable, but the company is now eyeing the production of liquids and cooking oil. He expounded further.
And this battle which we have within CARICOM is an important step in achieving that. Once we achieve that, we will then go into liquids and cooking oil. Cooking oil on a significant scale, where we would be supplying the entire region. Liquids will be liquid hand soaps, hand sanitizers, that sort of product. We started off the factory with no brands, and in the space of 2 years, we have rolled out several brands. In blue soap, we've rolled out Better Blue and True Blue, and in bar soaps, we've rolled out Rail and Ready, and we're about to launch another one shortly. So we've done an excellent job in rolling out new product and getting our soaps into 80% of supermarket shelves across the region in every island in CARICOM. So we've done a great job, but we need to build up volume.
Nassif says most of the issues of CARICOM originate from private sector players. He says manufacturers need to study the field thoroughly in order to succeed and to come out victorious of the bumps they may encounter.
A lot of business people complain about CARICOM, the failure of CARICOM, It's now cliche to point your fingers at the politicians and the technocrats, but what I have learned is that most of the issues with CARICOM originate with private sector players who, in seeking to pursue their interests, do so at the expense of the framework of the CARICOM agreement and the rules of origin. And the lesson to be learned is if you're going to manufacture, make sure you understand what the definition of manufacturing the product you're going to make is, what transformation is required, and what the rules of origin are if it's your intention to export. So you need to know what you need to do, and you need to invest in that equipment to accomplish that.
Executive Director of DCP Successes Limited, Yvonne Asif. Four countries' offices across the Caribbean are collaborating in the world's largest film festival today to raise awareness for the social issues that migrant populations regularly experience. This initiative is part of the International Organization for Migration's IOM Global Migration Film Festival, which aligns with this year's International Migrants Day. The IOM launched a film festival in 2016 and has since then become the largest film festival in the world, with over 480 country offices participating in the festivities. The objective of the GMFF is to use films as educational tools that influence perceptions of and attitudes towards migrants by bringing attention to social issues and creating safe spaces for respectful debate and interaction. For 2020, four country offices in the Caribbean have collaborated to screen the movie Revolution from Afar. Offices in Guyana, Dominica, Jamaica, and the Bahamas have come together to bring the film festival to audiences in each of the countries in a unified and collaborative way, with virtual screening scheduled for 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. Dominica time. One of the positive effects of the pandemic is an increased virtual collaboration between the Caribbean sister missions in the South, the East, and the West. This now leads to a true Caribbean broadcasting of an inspiring movie, and I am confident that more inspiring initiatives will follow, said John Willem Wegdab, head of Office IOM Bahamas. Meanwhile, according to Communications Officer for IOM Dominica, Maxine Allen Esprey, the IOM offices in the region have joined together to host this year's film festival, demonstrating IOM's commitment to fostering social cohesion and ending discrimination, xenophobia, and mistreatment of migrants in our societies. Here's what Q95 News has been able to gather about the movie. In 2019, following months of protests across the country, Sudan's military removed a 30-year dictator, Omar al-Bashir. It also cracked down violently on a civilian sit-in outside its headquarters. The internet was shut down, leaving only those outside Sudan to voice a plea for a peaceful transition to civilian government. An ocean away, Sudanese American poets and musicians gather in major American cities to perform in support of the revolution. At the heart of this film is a conversation about identity, belonging, and the uncertain future of Sudan, from which diaspora Sudanese have been physically isolated. To receive your free tickets to the Global Migration Film Festival, persons are advised to log on to iomjamaica.eventbrite.com. President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston, wants Prime Minister and Finance Minister Roosevelt Skerrett to immediately stop the use of biblical references to justify his approach to power. Boston says over the years and in recent times, Prime Minister Skerrett has too often blasphemed against the name of God. Boston told Q95 News on Wednesday that God is not to be mocked.
Well, something is wrong with him and his thinking, and those who are close to him and those who see him as a god, I mean, should advise him that God selected a people in different areas. They selected pastors, they selected priests, they selected nuns, God selected politicians, God selected prime ministers, selected everybody who may be in a position of importance. In fact, he selected to be alive. And therefore, when God realizes that you have probably served what you were selected to serve, then he will remove you and so forth. So no one is stronger than God. And this reference that he continued to make is really, I mean, one should be fair with him and tell him that he is almost blaspheming.
President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston. Voice of Life Radio has activated its fundraising efforts so that they may continue to share the word of the gospel to the nation. Speaking on a special simulcast program earlier this morning, Brother Senior Announcer and Program Director of Voice of Life, Gary Didier, shared the reason why the fundraiser is necessary.
We haven't done this for quite a while, since 2017, and it's been, what, about 3 years since we have had a fundraiser. And we praise God. God has been with us, though we've been on, and we have seen the hand of God working in the broadcast studios and in the lives of others. Quite a few people came alongside us after the hurricane, although the studio wasn't damaged, but many of our broadcast sites became a victim to the winds of Hurricane Maria, of course. Dominica's body is tall, and a lot of those broadcast antennas are on mountaintops, and a lot of our broadcast equipment was damaged. We have done some replacement, but we need to do really a complete overhaul so our broadcast is not as intermittent as it is presently.
Didier expressed his appreciation for the many supporters of the program over the years.
Pastor Randy, thank you so much for turning us on during your broadcast time this morning. And the organization of Q95 Radio, absolutely fantastic. Thanks a lot for coming alongside us so that we can, in this time of need, reach out to even more people in our broadcast range.
The Voice of Life givers, they have really learned to give. And they don't give till it hurts. They give what they can give. And I've been very careful with fundraising all these years. Whenever I am encouraging people to give, I don't want to sound contrary to some of my friends that are fundraising with me. But I tell people, especially, you know, discuss your fundraising with your family. Discuss your giving with your family.
Gary Didier, Senior Announcer and Program Director of Voice of Life. Meantime, host of Rise and Shine, Pastor Randy Rodney, says the Shirathon will be running from now until Saturday on Voice of Life Radio.
The Shirathon is going to be running at Voice of Life from today right through to Saturday afternoon. And in that effort, we have decided to collaborate with them on that first hour at Voice of Life this morning. And I'm doing that as well because, you know, just a couple of days ago, Facebook reminded me that 9 years ago, we utilized the studios of Q95 in the morning to help with the fundraising effort there. Voice of Life is a gospel radio station. It is not a commercial radio station by any means. And whatever they do is done strictly by the love and the giftings of the people. And so that's why we employ you to assist and to provide some sort of support for the radio station there. So Rise and Shine really and truly will be dedicated solely to that purpose this morning, to assist Voice of Life Radio in its programming.
Pastor Randy Rodney, President of Dominica Charles Savra, says he was saddened after learning of the passing of Montreal Management Consultants MMC Limited Project Director Christopher Timmins. Timmins, who arrived in Dominica in September of 2016, is said to have played a leading role in the island's recovery efforts, more specifically the housing and health facilities sector, following the passage of Tropical Storm Erica in 2015 and Hurricane Maria in 2017. Timmins passed away on Saturday.
I wish to take this opportunity on behalf of my wife and family, the government and people of the Commonwealth of Dominica, and on my own behalf to convey sincere sympathy to the wife of Mr. Timmins, his three children, the management and staff of MMC, his extended family and friends, his blessed memory and considerable contribution to our socio-economic development will forever remain in our hearts and minds.
Dominica's President Charles Savare. President of the Dominica Dementia Foundation, Melon George, says as the newly elected president, it is his intention to continue the founder's, Rihanna Patterson's, dream for the foundation. Patterson builds the foundation on the memories of her grandfather who lived with dementia in his latter days. George says he will work to bring about more awareness and sensitivity to this mental disorder during his tenure.
The foundation actually helped her to connect more with his memory. Rihanna wishes to create a world that understands the causes and effect of this mental disorder, and she also seeks to remove the stigma that might be attached to it. During my stint as president, my main goal is to bring awareness and sensitivity to dementia as well as other mental illnesses. My first plan is to create a foundation that understands mental disorders, how they may affect individuals and the loved ones. My main focus will be to create a foundation that is sustainable, so the work that Rihanna started will continue long after my departure.
Newly elected president of the Dominica Dementia Foundation, Melon George. Vice president is Keisha Antoine. Treasurer, Marie Alyssa Tong. And secretary is Shanice Moses. And Grenadian journalist Linda Straker gives an update on the COVID-19 situation on the island of Grenada, where a recent spike in cases is creating some regional concern. Speaking to Q95 Hot Seat host Matt Peltier earlier this morning, Straker reported on the current statistical data that has been released.
With regard to COVID, we would have had a sort of leapfrog spike when compared to last Thursday, we were 43, and this morning we are 43 plus 44. So we're 87 within a matter of days. And that's because, as we would have shared with your listeners, there is a cluster outbreak. It's not described it as community spread because they can confirm the origin of it. So it's a cluster that is linked directly to the Sanders Resort. Now, out of that 44, 39 of these new cases are confirmed to be linked directly or indirectly to the Sanders. And the other five are persons who have come in through and been captured at the borders, because persons, when they come in, they have also, especially if you plan on mingling with the society, on the fourth day, you are tested, you're kept in quarantine, and then you're tested. So five of the 44 are actually persons who tested positive while in quarantine. So that has been dealt with.
With regards to Sandals Hotel, 30 persons have been tested positive.
However, with the case of Sandals, as of yesterday, the 15th, 529 locals has been tested in relation to that cluster, and 30 of those persons have tested positive. And that number includes employees, affiliated workers, and the contact. 11 guests were tested at the cluster facility, which is Sandals, because it's now a screening and assessment site, and 9 of the guests were confirmed as positive. As of yesterday, 222 persons are awaiting, identified for testing. It's in the coming hours and days, and that number is expected to increase as the investigation continues, because they're doing heavy and aggressive contact tracing. Quite a number of persons are now initially self-quarantined, awaiting to be tested. So that's the situation as it is now.
Grenadian journalist Linda Straker. In other news, Prime Minister Gaston Brown made some stark remarks in Parliament on Tuesday as he scolded the Antigua and Barbuda Workers Union, ABWU, for encouraging port workers to take industrial action over unpaid bonuses. As a result of the threats to withhold their services, Brown said Cabinet would be discussing reinstating voluntary redundancy and will have to consider furloughing some of the 250 port workers. Brown claims that the port only needs 80 of the 250 workers currently employed in order to function efficiently. He reveals that when his government took office in 2014, it made the decision to suspend a voluntary retrenchment program, which had been in the works by the former administration. And Americans start to get vaccinated against COVID-19 as deaths cross 300,000. And Dr. David Agus joined CBS this morning to explain the process and how long it will take Americans to receive COVID-19 vaccines.
You know, over the next weeks, we'll vaccinate 1% to 2% of the U.S. population, so it's a very small number. It's probably going to be toward the end of the spring, beginning of the summer, where we start to see the vaccine having a significant significant impact. Every week, though, we're going to save lives. Every week, we're going to protect people, which is critical. But it's going to take a while to get toward that 70 to 80% herd immunity, which we really require in this country.
And when you think about a return to normalcy, Dr. Anthony Fauci, for example, was saying masks will probably be worn through 2021 or near the end of 2021. Define normalcy for me, and when will we meet it?
So what we know with these vaccines is that in most people, at least we know, is that it dramatically lowers the virus level. We don't know if there's not necessarily blocking asymptomatic spread. It probably does, but we don't know yet. But there's going to be 5-10% of people who can get a mild cold, and those people are contagious. So you need to wear a mask until the numbers come dramatically down toward the end of the year. And there'll be a new normal. The new normal is like Asian countries, where when you're ill, you wear a mask. And I hope that continues forever, and that we can stop spread of other viral diseases also.
How are you feeling about next summer? A lot of people kind of mentally are thinking, well, at least by next summer, there'll be movies, there'll be baseball games, there'll be barbecues, there'll be birthday parties, weddings will be back. Do you anticipate the vaccine opening up that closed world to us?
You know, I think the announcement by Live Nation a couple of weeks ago is saying, you know, if you come to our concerts sometime in 2021, you have to have a certificate that you had a vaccine. So there will be certain privileges, if you will, to people who've received a vaccine. There will be mass vaccinations. Yep. Hopefully the rest of the most of the country will be vaccinated by April, May, June timeframe. And at that point, I think we're going to see some loosening of the restrictions. We'll still be wearing masks. We'll still be socializing, distancing, but we're going to enable much more gatherings and a more normal, not a normal, but a more normal way of life this summer.
Privileges tied to getting the vaccine will certainly help motivate people who are a little bit on the fence to get that vaccine. I want to ask you a technical question about the vaccine itself. It's very complicated going from out of the box into the vial and then into a person's arm. There's an opportunity there for error. What concerns you the most about how technically specific that process is?
Well, it's a tough process, right? I mean, heroes have stepped up over the last 4 or 5 months, patients across the country, tens of thousands in the clinical trials. That went very smoothly. Now, the rollout happened yesterday, 140 hospitals, 400 plus today. And the problem is you're taking a vaccine that is stored at minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. You are thawing it, and it has to be given in a certain period of time while the vaccine is still good. And then you have to watch the patient, as David just alluded to, for 15 to 30 minutes and make sure that there's no allergic reaction. So in a sense, it is a very complicated process. In the UK, when they did it, they expected to vaccinate 3,000 to 4,000 people a day. In the first week or so, it was hundreds a day. Yeah. So we're going to get it. We're going to get it right. We're going to vaccinate the whole country. There may be a few missteps in the beginning, but it's going to happen.
And that's the Midday News, but first a recap of the headlines. An act carving the way for a new National Health Commission is set to go before Parliament in 2021. But member Eliud Williams says a CEO will be installed at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital in January. Prime Minister Gaston Brown made stark remarks in Parliament on Tuesday, scolding the Antigua and Barbuda Workers' Union for encouraging port workers to take industrial action over unpaid bonuses. And Americans start to get vaccinated against COVID-19 as deaths cross 300,000. And Dr. David Agus joined CBS this morning to explain the process and how long it will take Americans to receive COVID-19 vaccines. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only.